It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Gang's all here. Welcome back. It's 97.1. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We'll get to Greg Palm coming up at 6:35. A ranking of the top 12 teams in college football. John, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Heather, good morning.
Good morning to you as well.
All right. Yeah.
How was your... How was it with Stoney yesterday? A weary-eyed Stoney and a weary-eyed T.J. Lang.
Well, that was the weird part is T.J.'s like the closer. He comes in for the 9 a.m. Right. hour on yeah. Mondays, and instead...
He's in the barn at that point.
We can call it warming up in the bullpen, sleeping on the couch, because that's where I found him. But yeah, it was fun having those guys in to start yesterday.
So I'm disappointed in you. Oh, I'm really disappointed.
What now?
So you walk into the building, and you have two co-hosts... that are sleeping.
Oh, you think I should have?
You should, and you didn't mess with either of them?
John, they're getting like an hour sleep, maybe.
It's the best time to do it. They're not going to wake up, put a little whipped cream on the hand,
oh,
and
no.
Hey, tickle his nose.
Like, a Sharpie to the face.
Oh, there yeah. Sharpie to the face is a given. Like that one. Okay, and I get maybe you think a TJ wakes up, you're putting Sharpie on his face, he's going to kick your ass. More than likely.
But Stoney?
But Stoney?
That's a fair point. That TJ's a light sleeper because once I noticed him, he's
oh sure, yeah, trust me, he's been messed with before. He knows how it goes. Wait a sec, I am risking taking a nap here. Oh, Jansen's not here, I'm probably okay. Like that is, I guarantee you, part of his, it's now in his DNA.
Yep.
But Stoney, no, that was maybe the most golden opportunity you have ever had, and I don't even know that it. Did it even cross your mind?
No, I'm just a good person, John. It didn't even cross my mind. Heather, would it have crossed your mind?
No, not at all.
It's disappointing. It's very disappointing.
I still don't quite know where he slept because it wasn't like we have couches right here. And it's,
right.
It's Stoney was somewhere off in some...
faraway land.
Yeah, I don't understand where he was. Yes, but he showed up and he was ready to go. We had a good time.
Yeah, well, it was a nice day off. And I last night on the Michigan, Inside Michigan Football, I did thank our veterans, but I would like to thank them again since I didn't get a chance to yesterday morning. Thank you very much for your services and the sacrifices that you have and continue to make. It will always be the greatest country in the world, the greatest country the world has ever known, and it is all thanks to our veterans.
Well said.
Yeah. Thank you.
We gave several shout-outs yesterday, and it's absolutely something that should be said again today. John, we talked a lot about the game, but we have not heard your reaction to what was an epic Lions comeback, a remarkable football game where this team just finds a way. You just can't rattle them. What did you make of it?
A win's a win. I'll take it any way you can. A dirty win, a nasty win, an ugly win. I don't care what adjective you use. A win is a win, and you skate. You got lucky, or maybe it's just that you are that good. You could play that way and still get away with it. I don't think that there's anybody in this team that is going to say, "Huh, we don't need to bring our A game." I there's a lot of pride in that locker room, and I think they're probably counting their lucky stars today as well. Tuesday being their off day instead of yesterday, even though they probably had victory Monday. But how about Jake Bates? I mean,
250-yard field goals.
250-yard field goals that did they both graze the upright?
To tie and to win, just
I mean,
tucking
he's got
it
a,
inside the upright.
He's got a flair for the drama. And it was, as kickers do, right? They're very dramatic.
People did say it's odd that you missed the day where we could have been praising the kicker.
Well, that's the first thing I said.
Okay.
Right? Other than you should have messed with TJ and Stoney. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that I gave credit where credit was due. I have no love for kickers, and I have given them a hard time, but when they do something like that, especially a guy that is trying to continue to build trust, not that he's got to build trust with the fans, but that's a part of the equation. We're the ones that are going to sit there and crucify him. Yep. if it's 6 inches the other way and it either, you know, hits the goalpost or misses, should have gone with a reliable kicker. But he has been so good this year. And honestly, the further away, the more confident I actually have. It's the close ones where I'm like, what's going to happen? Anything plus 50, I'm like, that's money. Like, let's you know, in-game betting. Let's go.
What were you thinking at halftime?
Oh boy,
they're down 23-7. They just gave up a touchdown going into the break after squandering their chance inside the 2-minute drill.
So if I hadn't watched the entire Minnesota game and didn't know what how it started, how it ended, how it was in the middle, I would have thought, let's go to bed. I don't want to see the end of this game, but knowing that they got down 10 to Minnesota and 21 points in the second quarter, and then they had the fumble at the end of the game, they lost the lead, they go on a drive, I kind of always felt like they're eventually, things are going to click, right? Jared Goff is going to stop giving the ball away, he didn't.
I was going to say, then he still gave two more interceptions away.
But that's when the defense started to take the ball away as well.
Yes.
And here, this is a team. And this is why I didn't think the game was over at halftime. This is a team that we have seen win defensively, win with special teams, and win with offense. And we've seen, you know, brief stints where they've done all three extremely well. Throughout the course of a 17-game season, you're going to have some days where, yeah, everything clicks. Everything's going well. Some days you're going to have it where two don't work and one does, and that's the one that ends up winning you the game. They have been opportunistic throughout the entire season. Every single time that they needed at least one phase to step up and win a game, they've been able to get it done.
What moment won them the game to you? When did you go from, I think they can win this game, to they are going to win this game?
There's a bunch of different moments, but I kind of felt like, all right, down 13-23, and it was the interception.
Carlton Davis in the end zone.
That to me was the moment where you're like, okay, they're going to do something. They're refusing to lose. They're refusing to throw in the towel and say, better luck next week. This is the opportunity, and because if he doesn't get that one and they go up 30-13,
at
that point you're like, yeah.
You know what's so funny? A lot of callers brought that play up yesterday, and I agree it was one of several pivotal moments. You realize two plays later, though, Jared Goff threw it, but maybe his worst interception of the day. The other ones, hey, he was hit. It was going into halftime. His worst pick of the day may have been his fifth interception the very next drive. But I understand what you're saying. It was this idea that while the Lions' offense had not yet got going, Houston was not going to pull away because Detroit's defense was dialed in. That was the second pick of the half for the secondary. And it was the second pick by Carlton Davis. And it was only a matter of time. Now, when Detroit scored to make it 23-20, I felt like I had been on the other side of this for so many years as a Lions fan. When the momentum shifts, even though you have the lead, I go, the Lions are winning this football game. Even though they were trailing at the time 23-20, they are winning this football game. But it doesn't happen, to your point, if they don't get that Carlton Davis pick in the end zone.
No, but and here's where I believe that they were going to win. And it's that moment where I thought, okay, yes, they're going to give themselves a chance in this horrific day that we have seen Jared Goff have. But then you think about the perception leading up to that moment. What was the defense doing leading up to that moment? And in the second half, it was interception. And the irony of watching the game, listening to Dan Campbell, halftime comments.
Need takeaways.
We need takeaways. Boom, there's a takeaway. But it was interception. And these are the possessions for Houston. Interception, punt, interception, punt, 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 missed field goal. That's their second half possessions.
And I don't think any drive over 30 yards. They didn't move the ball. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. Detroit's defense got 4 sacks on the day. It was everything you wanted.
Yeah, and that was without Za'Darius Smith, which I was still very surprised that he didn't play. Sounded like he was willing, and they said, hey, let's we understand. Yeah, as a vet, we want to make sure we understand every game is important, but we want to make sure that you are good to go for the rest of the season.
We can ask Dan Campbell about it. He joins us today at 8:02. Lions head coach coming off yet another win. That's 7 in a row for Detroit, 8-1 on the season. And John, I have kind of a flippant question that I'd like to get your answer on.
Oh.
How do they lose? Because if you throw 5 picks against a first place team and you still win the game, I'm not really sure how this team loses.
Are you changing the destination of your bus?
Let's not get that far ahead. Let's get your answer next. We'll get college football rankings, bottom of the hour. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's all-day IPA. Here is what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All-day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious, citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, all-day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days. Here's what you do. You visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, John, if you throw 5 picks and you still don't lose, what would it take for this team to actually drop a football game? It feels like they're invincible.
It does feel that way. It sure feels that way. But yeah, it's still possible to lose. It's still possible to play really good and lose. And if they were to do this against the Buffalo Bills, I don't think there's any way that they win that game. If they did this, I think you could probably do it against the Jags, the Colts, the Bears. You couldn't do it against the Packers. I think that it would cost you there. The Bills, obviously, I mentioned, and the Niners. I'm not yet giving up on the San Francisco 49ers, especially now that Christian McCaffrey is back, healthy, rocking and rolling. Debo Samuel, that team is very, very dangerous.
They've won 2 in a row, finally have a winning record this season.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Monday Night Football, the final game of the 2024 calendar for the Lions.
And I say, I know the Texans are a first-place team in their division.
That's a good team.
They're a good team, but I don't think they're on the same level as a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Lions, a Bills, even a San Francisco.
The ceiling of a San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah. If San Fran gets off and running here. John, the other thing with Houston is they're a bad second half team, and we didn't really talk about that, but that's been an issue for them for weeks, if not months. Credit to the Lions defense for pitching a second half shutout. Credit to the Lions offense for getting it going when they needed to with a couple second half touchdowns. And credit to the Lions who just keep finding ways to win. A ticket texter says, I would love if the Lions win out, but the only loss they can't take is an L to the Bears on Thanksgiving. Dan in Benton Harbor.
There's a lot of people. I mean, the whole Thanksgiving day has been
7
an
straight
issue.
Losses.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously with what happened last year against the Pack. Yeah. But it would be even worse now because of what we're seeing from the Bears. Caleb Williams not having a great rookie season. Thought that there might be a glimmer of hope come about, week 3 or 4? And then it's been all downhill since that glimmer has been
just
completely shut down.
Lost 3 straight. Lost to the Patriots. Only scored 3 points against the Patriots. It's a mess. By the way, Eberflus does like a weekly hit in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, and we have Campbell on every week. They have Eberflus on. His phone dropped out 3 different times. And at one point, the host said that his phone reception was just as bad as their offense. So if you want an update for how things are going in the Windy City.
Intermittent at best.
Yeah, do not lose to Chicago, especially not on Thanksgiving Day. Texter says, how are you guys still talking about this incredible Lions game when the NBA Cup starts tonight? Bueller? Crickets?
Yeah, that's the in-season tournament.
Pistons and Heat tonight. Full breakdown coming up sometime, half past never.
Well, at least they'll get a good view of the new statue.
What new statue? Oh, is it in Miami?
I think it's in Miami. Is it not in Miami?
I don't know, John. But you can see.
No, it's home, so never mind.
So they will not have a great view of the,
no.
the Dwayne Wade, whatever that's supposed to be statue.
Have you seen the schools that are using the Dwayne Wade statue as, like, if there's a scoreboard behind the field goal?
To rattle
like
them,
to distract the kicker.
Get out of here. It is very distracting.
It is.
A little
very
frightening.
Distracting. I think it's hilarious. And there's multiple schools that are doing it.
So I asked you this off air. I'll ask it to you on air. If someone made a statue of you, John, and it looked that bad, would you like kind of privately gripe or would you publicly say something?
I wouldn't publicly say anything because it's meant to be a tremendous honor. And I'm not going to sit there and complain about them honoring me. That would be.
But they're kind of dishonoring you by not even getting close the way you look.
Okay, well, yeah, but trust me, I'm no statue maker. I have heard it's difficult. I don't know how difficult it is now with like 3D printing. Where can't they just use a 3D printer to make it out of whatever material they're...
You're looking at Heather.
I know how to make statues. I'm looking at Greg.
I'm looking at...
You look very confused, Heather. You're like, I don't know.
Is that what they do? I don't know.
But it's...
No idea.
I don't know how they get it so wrong.
Because I've seen some other really... Like Cristiano Ronaldo, I think, had a really bad one.
Well, they redid his. Yeah, okay. They redid his because it was so bad.
But I also know they're very expensive, so it's not easy or... affordable to just redo.
I mean, I think you just have to have fun with it, right?
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick also had a very bad bust. But that was done by Carissa Thompson, so we can explain that.
Okay. We have a lot to do today on the show. We are going to get to Sharon Moore. What was that on Saturday against the Hoosiers? Yeah. That's at 6:50. Speaking of the Hoosiers, they will be mentioned, gotta be, in Greg's top 12 teams for college football. We'll get to that coming up.
He's given the shoulder shrug emoji.
What do you mean shoulder shrug? They're undefeated, 10-0. Let's get to Heather's news.
Okay, so obviously we weren't here yesterday. I don't know if you talked about this yet, but the hottest rising star in country music is set to perform the halftime show for the Lions Thanksgiving Day game. Oh. Shaboozy is a 6-time Grammy nominee, and he rose to fame this year with his hit single, A Bar Song, which I'm sure, everyone maybe but John knows.
You don't know the song?
I know that one.
Okay,
I'm just saying,
you say that, and then John's like, I don't know that song. I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought, you know this one. Okay, great. So let's see. He won the New Artist of 2024 at the People's Choice Awards, the Country Awards, and then the Bar Song has been nominated for Single of the Year at the CMAs. So.
Cool.
Awesome. Now, what I will say about halftime, don't half-ass it. Because with Jack Harlow, there's a little igloo thing, like a mall decor. Can we do a real setup?
What was that? I forgot about that. That was, he just get rid of that.
Yes.
Just perform. Yeah.
Was that wasn't the Lions, though. That was him.
I don't know who's responsible for that.
That was him. Yes. I would imagine that was him. But even either way, somebody should be like, let's just change that up. Yeah, that was bad. A rare November tornado touched down in Holly on Sunday. And according to the National Weather Service, a line of thunderstorms moving across Metro Detroit brought a short-lived EF0 to Oakland County. So over the course of 2 minutes, the tornado traveled about 1 mile, had winds reaching 70 miles per hour. Mm. At its largest, it was about 50 yards wide. And officials say it began like in this marshland area and then traveled northeast into Holly, then obviously died off. But the tornado damaged trees, construction sites, some exterior of several buildings like roofing and stuff. Nobody was injured, which is the most important part.
Crazy this time of year,
Really rare in November for sure. This is wild. East Lansing police are investigating human remains found inside somebody's home freezer last week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yikes. Last Thursday, police got a call from somebody in the house who reported finding blood on the floor. So they went to investigate. They searched the home and they found a person dead inside the freezer. And then they also say they found the possible remains of a second person in that same freezer.
Oh. Disturbing.
Very. Yeah. Obviously, the investigation is ongoing. No word about how these people died. Like, did were they just like old people that died in the house and this weird you know, like,
yeah,
you hear those stories.
Freezer?
I don't know, but they do. Well, those stories exist.
You want to preserve them until, like, you have time to take care of it.
I don't know. It does happen. Or was this a murder? And
it does not. It does not happen. This is
no. Yeah. It doesn't happen, but it has happened.
It has happened.
It
yes,
has happened.
Yes.
It doesn't happen
no.
regularly. Yes. No. Hey, congrats are in order. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are expecting their first child together. So Megan made the big announcement on Instagram on Monday. She showed off her baby bump while she was covered in black paint,
mm-hmm.
nude, but not nude because the paint covered her body. She also posted a photo of a positive pregnancy test. So congrats to them. She did yeah. make sure she tagged Machine Gun Kelly to note that, yes, he is the daddy. I'm guessing that's why she did it. Otherwise,
yes. Just, otherwise, hey. Wild speculation.
Yeah, exactly. She basically cleared off her Instagram, too. Like, that's the only post.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
big
good,
statement.
Good for them. Good for
yes,
because
they did experience a miscarriage at some point earlier than this, too. So I think that...
Is there a significance to the black paint?
I don't know. Is it... Well, I know he covered his entire body with black tattoo. Wasn't he, like, connecting? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't follow them enough.
I don't know
I'm
either.
Pretty sure. Wasn't it him that's now, like, his whole chest is, like, filled with tattoo? Like, he covered his whole body in tattoos?
Maybe.
Could be. I don't
maybe
know.
There's something.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something with that. Who knows? But either way, she's got three sons with Brian Austin Green. He's got a 15-year-old daughter as well.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one more. Yeah. Thanksgiving has arrived at Krispy Kreme already. So if you're looking to, you know, start early, head there. So all month long, customers can enjoy four new Thanksgiving donut flavors. And according to the restaurant, the collection features fruity, crumbly, silky, and sweet treats inspired by the holiday's favorite pies. So it's
fruity,
you're,
and crumbly. I'm not.
You
okay,
like pies?
What are they?
Because
when
I heard the fruity and crumbly, I was like, "What? How are you doing?" Like.
Yeah.
Turkey and gravy, but it's all around the pie. So you've got chocolate silk pie donut.
Okay. Yeah.
A lemon
good.
Cream pie donut.
No.
Yep. A blueberry crisp donut.
Yes.
And an apple crumble donut.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. The only one, I just don't like lemon.
When I read that, I'm like, yeah, that's going to be the worst. But I like lemon. I would try it, but I don't see it going as well.
It's the smallest probably market for.
I think so too.
That donut. Yeah.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, a new methodology for Greg Palm as we get deeper into the season, as the playoff field thickens. It's 97.1.
Well, the awards just keep rolling in for Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He just won the Macomb Daily's Reader Choice Award for 2024's Best of the Best Plastic Surgeon. So congrats to him. And you guys, how incredible is it that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. If you've been thinking about going to see him, you want to go do it now. He's going to have you looking younger and feeling more confident with a thicker head of hair. And the sooner you go to see him, the more options you're going to have. So Dr. B has the most advanced medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. And these therapies just keep getting better and better results for his patients. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B is going to create a custom plan just for you, and he guarantees his treatments. So call today, mention 97.1, and you're going to receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation, and that's $1,000 value. For more information and to schedule your consult, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Greg, you have promised a new revamped methodology for ranking the top 12 teams in college football. The floor is yours.
That's right. We've got a whole new way of looking at things. Now, during this segment, what have I talked about a lot? Well, Team A's only loss is to undefeated Team B. Mm-hmm. Team C gave Team D their only loss, but has a bad loss to Team E. Team X had a bye week last week, but Teams Y and Z, who they have defeated, won. So it makes their win better. We've talked about devalued losses. So how can I quantify how good a win is and how bad a loss is? Well, let's start with losses. When Team X loses to Team Y, they not only get one loss, they inherit the losses of Team Y.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, how good or bad are Team Y's losses? How many total losses are on the record of the teams that Team Y lost to? Those are also inherited by Team X.
Wow, a lot of transitive properties here.
Exactly. So, a team's weighted losses are their number of losses plus the total number of losses of teams they've lost to plus the total number of losses that those teams lost to.
Oh, wow.
To.
So we're going three times removed?
Yes. There's third degrees of losses.
Third cousins.
It's designed...
Yes, John.
This is designed to compound losses to bad teams, but it's not going to severely punish losses to good teams.
Right.
Example. Okay. Let's take Texas for an example. They have one loss to two-loss Georgia. That's three. Whose losses are to two-loss Alabama.
That's five.
Five, yeah.
And two-loss Ole Miss. Seven. That's seven total weighted losses for Texas.
So it sounds like a lot, but there will be teams in this formula that have like double-digit weighted losses at this point, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like this is where what we've asked for, right? The Ken Pom, now Greg Pom.
Wins, losses, logos, don't care.
Lots
did you
of
win? Did you lose? Yeah. Game of Thrones. Only two options. That's cool for the losses. What do we do for the wins?
Yeah.
We do the opposite.
Sure.
Oh boy.
A team's weighted wins are the number of wins they have plus the total number of wins by the teams they have beaten plus the total number of wins by the teams that those teams have beaten.
Okay, so
a lot
still
of math.
Three times removed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're glad that you've done it.
3 degrees of wins. Wins against good teams get compounded, but wins against bad teams don't get heavily rewarded. We take the weighted wins. We subtract the weighted losses. You get weighted games above 500. That stat is how we are ranking teams. We gather the data on an FBS-wide basis, rank all teams 1 through 135, guys. We can go all 135 if you want to. We only have 10 minutes here.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How long did this take to put together? Hours?
Yes, I would measure it in hours.
Wow.
I came up with the idea on Wednesday and had something ready by Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh boy.
All right,
oh
so
boy.
The payoff
and then
is
they
here,
all played.
People.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then
reset
you
got to
redo
it.
All your math.
Before we get to the rankings, when I put these together, do the rankings make sense? Well, the Greg Pom top 12 this week, you're going to see, looks similar to the teams that you would see in the CFP top 12. So there is some sort of affirmation going on here. But they're not in the order you might expect.
Oh.
And there is a surprise or two.
Ooh.
And there is one this week, I will tell you. And it's not ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Okay.
Secondly, do the conference strength make sense? Well, we can add up the weighted games above 500 for every team in a conference. And what do we find? The SEC and Big Ten, they're nip and tuck at the top, 1-2. Who do we expect to be 3 and 4?
ACC and Big 12.
And that's what we find. The group of five conferences, every one of them has an accumulated negative weighted games above 500.
Which is the best of them? Is it Mountain West, probably, I would assume?
No, it's not the Mountain West. The best is, I would have to look it up. I think it's Conference USA.
I just pulled John on you.
I got to look at it. I don't have that on
hand. You're following enough to ask questions. I'm just...
You're just ready for
I'm
the 12
just
teams.
Here,
just
yeah.
give me the 12 teams.
All right, well, here it is. We're going to count up and down, top down, we're going to count these teams so that the teams at the bottom on the bubble are going to real feel the pinch here. Number one, Oregon. Kind of what we see on the field and with the committee sees as well. They're buoyed by wins against Ohio State and Boise State, getting those residual income streams from those two teams. The difference between Oregon and the number two team is greater than the difference between the number two team and the number 11 team. That's
wow.
how good the Ducks have been. Kind of like that Tiger Woods stat we'd see in the day
sure.
when the difference between him and the number two golfer is this wide margin. Number two, Indiana. Well, well, well.
Huh.
Look what happens when you get rid of the logos. Indiana. Now, they don't have any great wins, but they have a collection of good wins, and they do have 10 of them. Obviously, no demerits. They may have tapped out, however, if they lose at Ohio State in a Purdue game that's not going to give them much in the win column.
So it's kind of the ceiling for Indiana.
Yes, lest they pull the upset in 2 weeks. Number three, Alabama. The Vanderbilt loss hurts them. They have really good quality wins in their wins. Georgia, LSU, we know about those. Don't forget Missouri has 7 wins. South Carolina has 6 wins. Heck, even Western Kentucky is 7-2. Those are buoying Alabama to number three. Mm-hmm. Number four, BYU. The old Mike Emmerich adage, they ask not how, but how many. Come from behind win at Utah, which, by the way, is one of the most underrated home field advantages in all of college football. The SMU and Kansas State wins headline their resumes. Why they are number four. To the middle five, Ohio State. Great win at Penn State, but a soft non-conference schedule and a win against Purdue, who has zero FBS wins, mind you, keeps them here. They have literally the smallest demerit you can have, one weighted loss in total because they have a loss at Oregon, who's undefeated. Number six, SMU. Duke, Louisville, Pittsburgh, all quality conference wins. Just like Ohio State, the only loss is to an undefeated team. That's BYU. Number seven, Notre Dame. Coming off an empty win against Florida State, but you'd rather have a little bit of wins and then inherit all of those losses that FSU has. The weight of the NIU loss still prevents them from being fifth or higher. Now, a note about these teams in this little middle portion here, 5 through 9 are very, very close. They could shuffle easily after this week. Number 8, Penn State. Plenty of decent wins. No great win. Their one loss is to the best team they played. Yep, sounds like Penn State, all right.
Yep.
Number 9, Texas. Conference home wins against Florida and Mississippi State are not doing much for them. Their best win, believe it or not, is still the win at Michigan, followed closely by the win at Vanderbilt. A win at Arkansas is going to help them gather these income streams for them. Number 10, Miami. Close calls finally caught up with them. Losing at Georgia Tech is a significant ding to them, and that Georgia Tech team now has 6 wins to their credit, but that's a loss for Miami that's really going to knock them down a little bit, settles them down at 10. Number 11, Boise State. Only Conference USA is a worst-ranked conference than Boise State's Mountain West. I mean, I know I said you asked me about the conference strength. I didn't know. I said Conference USA. That was a guess. Boise is in the Mountain West. Their only loss is to Oregon. Their best win, don't forget this, Washington State, who's 8-1.
Yep.
They are playing at San Jose State this week. It is the Greg Palm game of the week.
Really?
San Jose State is 6-3. Boise, in recent weeks, played sloppy against Nevada, nearly lost to UNLV. You're saying, but Greg, Tennessee and Georgia are playing this week. Well, yeah, but a team ranked in the Greg Palm top 12 has to be the Greg Palm game of the week. Number 12, here's your surprise, Louisville.
What?
6-3. But Greg, how can 6-3 Louisville be ranked in the top 12?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a look at their three losses. SMU, ranked 6th in the Greg Palm, 1 loss. Notre Dame, ranked 7th, 1 loss. And Miami, ranked 10th, 1 loss. They're levitated by wins against Clemson and the aforementioned 6-win Georgia Tech, who just beat Miami. Louisville, that is your surprise. They are in at number 12.
No Georgia. And again, the loss should have sent them tumbling. And no Tennessee, who only has 1 loss, right?
Correct. Great FAQ about Tennessee. Why no Tennessee? They've got 3 nothing burger wins. An FCS school, winless Kent State, and Mississippi State, who has just 2 wins on the season.
So those wins aren't really winning for them.
And a loss to a 4-loss Arkansas team. They do have the game against Georgia. That's going to be huge for either team.
Yeah, the winner is going to be in a great position to make the college football playoff. The loser, if it's Georgia, they're out, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That is a huge game this week in Athens, Georgia and Tennessee.
A lot
of numbers here, John.
Just a lot of math.
If your head stopped spinning, what'd you think?
Well, no, it's still spinning.
Oh, okay.
I can't think. I am curious, though, because of Ohio State with their 1 loss being at 5. And that 1 loss is to Oregon, who has no losses. When you start going...
They don't have the wins, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah, but Alabama has the two losses, and I understand that they are better losses, but they have those teams that they've lost to have losses as well. So, like, when you start going, you know, two and three times removed, I don't know how that math works.
Ohio State, soft non-conference schedule. Two MAC teams. Marshall's actually not a bad win for them. And Purdue doing nothing for their resume.
Very interesting. All right, here we go. There you got Greg Palm. Tonight, the College Football Playoff Committee will update their top 25. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's getting cold outside. If you haven't had your furnace checked, you need to. Or if you haven't had a service, you need to do what I did and call the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and same-day service, plus the 5-year warranty. I know I'm covered, and I know, as I talked about it, the next homeowners are covered as well. So it's a great value add, a great selling piece. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators. They'll take up to $500 off if you tell them I sent you. And they also offer that fast installation, like same-day service. You want to find more information? You can find it on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
Doug Karsh on the call. John Jansen sitting next to him, sitting next to me this morning. We're going to talk Wolverine football. Do we have to? Yes, we have to. Two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Your chance to win $2,000. At 7:35, Heather's Lions fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear this.
John, Michigan football. I know it's exactly how your Saturdays have been going this year. Let's talk through it, because they lost to Indiana, surprisingly played a close game with Indiana, but I left the game feeling like Sharon Moore cost them that football game.
Sharon Moore and the coaches.
Yes.
Like, it's, and obviously everything falls on the head coach. It just, it's one of the better opponents that they had played this year, but they had multiple opportunities to win the game. And what hurts the most, there were clock management issues at the end. Timeout that wasn't taken for 28 seconds, then you do. It was, you know, and I asked Sharon about the 4th and 3 at the start of the second half where, you know, it's 3rd and 8. They pick up 5 yards with a run. It felt to me like they were in that position of the field. And we've got some audio that we'll share with that in just a moment. But the thing that was most frustrating was – twice inside the 5-yard line, they had the ball and did not score touchdowns.
Yeah.
The very first possession of the game and the very first possession, or not the first possession, the second possession of the second half, at right after the interception. If you can't score a touchdown or even really make a threat of scoring a touchdown in those positions, then honestly, you don't deserve to win the game. And they didn't.
20-15. Close. Holding Indiana to 20 points. Noteworthy. I thought the second half defense for Michigan was really good. They stopped the run. Got to the quarterback. They applied pressure, but then also sacked the quarterback. They got Rourke off the field. They gave their offense so many chances to win that game, and I feel like the chances weren't capitalized on. Now, some of that is this offense just isn't very good. They couldn't run the ball, and to your point about red zone execution, that's going to get you beat. But I don't feel like Sharon Moore gave them every opportunity to win the game offensively. Their first two possessions of the second half, you've already kind of alluded to one of them. They have it 3rd and 7, midfield. They run it on 3rd and 7. I'm okay with that, because in all likelihood, you're going to go for it on a 4th down. 4th and 3, they line up, and then they take the delay game and punt.
Yeah.
And I don't understand running on 3rd and 7 if you're not going to go for it on 4th and 3. 4th and 3, midfield. Hey, guys, let's get some urgency. Let's understand Indiana's got a high-powered offense. We're not going to win on the road with field goals. We may have, and they may have failed, John, because I know the offense isn't very good. But 4th and 3, you know, Sharon talks about challenging plays because he wants to fight for his guys. Hey, fight for your guys and call a good play on 4th down. If it doesn't work, I can respect it. John, the very next possession, this is back-to-back possessions to start the second half. I know we have audio, but I just want to tie the points together, because they get a 4th and 3 the very next drive, and they kick the field goal. You're 3 yards out of the end zone. Do you need touchdowns to win? Yes, yes, yes. You can't kick field goals and punt on 4th and 3s and beat Indiana. They needed a touchdown in that game, and they only had the one, and they lost.
And so I'll go back to the first possession where it's 3rd and 7, and if if you're not going to go for it, then it affects your third down call.
Throw it on third down. Then or call something more dynamic.
Right. Something that's going to pick you up the first down. Because if you're just going to line up and one, not kick the field goal or not go for it and just take the penalty and basically go back to where you were on third down to punt, like I don't understand the point of the play call on third down. That's where I have an issue with where how the plays are being called. If you don't have the foresight of thinking, this is what we're going to call on fourth down. And the problem is you at the start of the season, you want to develop a couple of plays that you know, no matter what defense it is, no matter what situation it is, we can pick up two yards. Yeah. Like this is our confidence play. This is our safety blanket. This is what we are going to hang our hat on. And that, you know, 90% of the time we're going to pick it up. I don't think they have that play. And that's where, if you're a play caller on third and seven, if I'm thinking I'm going to call a run, okay, well, you're averaging, what, the 3.5 yards per carry? So if you exceed expectations and get four.
First down.
So now it's fourth and two.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So now what is our two-yard play? And so if you're not going to go for it in that position on the field, then why are you calling that third down run?
It's sequencing is what you're talking about. Right. It's having like
a rhythm, a sequence, a thought, a process.
Being a step ahead instead of like, oh, we got to the line and realized this play wasn't going to work. So now we have to take a delay a game, try to get them to jump off sides, but take a delay a game and punt. And like to me, John, I don't know if it's the belief in their defense. They're playing Indiana, a team that was elite at scoring. You were going to need a touchdown at some point. I thought it was coaching scared. To punt the ball on fourth and three, to kick a field goal fourth and three from the goal line. I thought those are coaching decisions that you're playing not to win. Well, you're playing scared.
So you have no idea what's going to happen defensively after you punt. But this was the theory. This is what Sherrone Moore had to say when I asked him about it last night. So it did work out well. But again, it didn't end up in a touchdown because you're inside the 10-yard line
and you can't score. Yeah.
So the math in that occasion worked out, but you can't gamble on getting a turnover. This is a team that hadn't turned the ball over. This is also a team that hadn't been sacked. Now, you were able to do both. You got the turnover, and you were able to apply pressure. They had given up 4 sacks in Big Ten play, and Michigan got 4 sacks, but it was all for naught.
I just feel like they wasted a really good defensive performance in a season where they've had some poor defensive performances, right? I mean, they struggled to stop Texas and Oregon and Indiana, maybe not on their level, but was scoring north of 40 points a game. Mm-hmm. And Michigan held them to half their season average, less than half of the average for the season. You go on the road, you give yourself a chance. I just think they didn't take advantage of the chances by calling offensive plays on fourth and short. And maybe they wouldn't convert. But then don't show up. Don't play the game then. Like, you got to try in those spots.
Yeah, I even on the broadcast, I was shocked that they didn't run a play on fourth and two and then took the penalty to go back to where they started on third down.
It's like, what am I watching? And then
Don Zavada has been really good. He's been outstanding.
Oh, you're saying
kicker.
Just kick it. Yeah. It's 3 points.
I mean, he was good from 56, and as that ball went through, we commented on the broadcast, it would have been good from 62 or 63, at least, maybe more.
Very good kicker. And then we kind of glossed over it. The end of the game. Okay, I think it's 1:51 on the clock, just to reset this for people. You have 3 timeouts. I already see you dipping, kind of putting your head down. Indiana runs an 8-yard play. It's unfortunate that they got 8 yards on the first down, but you got to call a timeout because a first down effectively ends the game, right?
Yeah, they got the ball with 1:35 left.
Yeah, okay, 1:35 left. You got to use your timeouts. It's got to be 3 straight runs, 3 straight stops, 3 straight timeouts, and you get the ball back. If they run it on first down and don't get a first down and you don't call a timeout, you bleed, and they did bleed nearly 30 seconds off the clock. And the TV broadcast, I know you can't hear that, John, while you're broadcasting the game.
They were saying the same things we were.
Yeah, they're like, going,
what is going on?
These seconds are gold, and you are letting them evaporate. This is precious time that Sherrone Moore is letting bleed off the clock, only to still call the timeout. So, I mean, there wasn't like some workaround that he was plotting. Well, this just felt like mismanagement from the head coach.
And then we saw the exact same thing happen in the Steelers Commanders game.
Yeah.
Well, now obviously the Commanders ended up jumping off sides, giving them a first down, but it was 3 timeouts forcing them to punt.
Yes.
And the Commanders, we thought the Commanders were going to have a little bit more magic left in their genie lamp, it was all for naught because rookie defensive tackle ends up jumping off sides on fourth down.
So the question for Michigan fans, are you losing faith in Sharon as a head coach? I think it's a conversation we can continue coming up next. It's 97.1. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.